At one point in his illustrious career, William Willimon taught the practice of Christian ministry at Duke Divinity School. And by the way, William Willimon is somebody in a luminary in the United Methodist Church. I read in this last week that he and Henry Nouwen in the Roman Catholic Church are the most read theologians recently in progressive Protestant churches. So, a big name, William Willimon. And this is what he wrote. My father-in-law said that when he began ministry 6 decades ago, and Willimon was at Duke several decades ago already, so this was way back in the early 20th century. When my father-in-law began ministry in the 6 decades ago, pastors were expected to visit the sick, preach, and do a little teaching in the congregation. Now it takes me an entire semester just to skim the surface of must-have competencies in an ordained leadership class, and the list is growing. I'm sure the list of competencies includes now worship leadership, pastoral care, literacy with finances, good organization, theological competence, foundational reading from way back when to current foundational reading, and public relations and networking skills at a minimum. More recent additions might include management skills, computer savvy, blogging, and social networking. The last two are not my strength. The most helpful thing to me in ministry, however, has been the psychological studies about individuals and groups and how we operate within these systems in the congregation. And it's called family systems, and how the congregation is like a family, which led me to empowering communication. And I say all of that should definitely be on the list. But the thing missing on that list of competencies for Willimon is the practice of testimony or witnessing. How many of you just thought when you heard me say testimony and witnessing, that's not me, that it's kind of a dirty word, that that's something that we don't do in the progressive Protestant church? Maybe it's showy and inauthentic. Did anybody think witnessing and testimony is showy and inauthentic sometimes? Okay, a few people. John the Baptist had pretty much two competencies from our records: preaching repentance and testifying that Jesus was the one. I'd like to do that. That would be a good ministry right there. In his example, he is telling us, however, how to connect with God. John taught us to connect with God through repentance, which requires a good dose of humility, and proclaiming Jesus is the real deal. In the fourth gospel, there is no record of John's preaching, only his testimony that he himself was not the light, but was testifying to the light. He was directing people to the path, proclaiming that another was coming who was greater than himself. So testimony is witnessing, a verb. And yet the verb witness requires a witness, a noun, telling the truth about what one sees, hears, and experiences. In religion, testimony is telling where we see God and how we perceive the divine to be working in our lives. It is not an objective statement, God did this, because who are we to fully know how God is working in our lives? But testimony involves qualifying our statement, to the best of my knowledge, qualifying our statement and saying, to the best of my ability, it seems God is leading me here. Or, in my experience, it seems God is working in this way. Testimony is what we do in joys and concerns. We are either feeling sad and empty and concerned and wanting God to be more present, wanting to understand how we can bear the emptiness. Or we are feeling uplifted, joyful, excited, because we can understand how God is with us, or opening doors, or helping us grow and learn. In this age of reason, however, mystery of God's presence has been sidelined. Our world wants to banish mystery, the idea of not knowing. Theologian Andrew Root writes that in our modern age, reason has to overcome mystery. That's Descartes, the philosopher. That's the job in the modern age, is for reason to really snuff out mystery. Contemplation and discovery have to yield explanation. In such a closed world where mystery has been excommunicated, he writes, it becomes almost impossible to hold to the truth that the God of Israel arrived in time and place, speaking words that enter and overcome death with life. It's almost impossible to hold the God of Israel arrived in time and place. And need I point out that reason alone has not succeeded in teaching us how to overcome death with life. It has not succeeded in doing that. Humans have a longing for, I believe, a yearning for the transcendent God, the creative force of the universe, a longing for understanding the ultimate meaning in our lives in relationship to this force. That's why I still am part of the Christian tradition, because I am still discovering this, the meaning that lives on after we die, after I die. Modernity eliminates mystery as an explanation of not only the meaning of our lives, but what we can create that lives beyond our lives. And modernity doesn't help us dream into the possibilities of what we can create. And so if the mystery of God has been attacked since the Enlightenment, which it has, then testimony to this mystery, God, is very difficult for us to do. Many people think, not only Christians, but all people of faith are literally out of their minds because we hold on to mystery to some degree or another. And this sharing this, testifying, if you will, to this reality of God in our lives is very difficult if people think we're crazy. But what is not funny is that we have not yet learned how to convey to others successfully and persuasively what it means to center our lives around this inspiring guy, Jesus, to describe how it is sensible that we call Jesus God, the creative and life-giving force of the universe. Yes, of course, the most important part of our faith must be putting our conviction into practice, living it. And that is for sure persuasive. But we are humans, and we share information with words. It's also what we do really, really well. And we have not yet figured out how well enough, in my opinion, to convey our adoption of Christianity to others. The consequence is that what we love, our progressive tradition that is so freeing to us, will die in something like 20 or 50 or 60 or 75 years if we don't learn how to testify, how to openly celebrate our church. Testimony might seem as arduous as learning a new computer program for those of us over 60, or as arduous as learning to use a typewriter for those under 60. It was hard typing on a real typewriter. I do not consider testimony to be one of my competencies, despite Willimon's requirements. Our retreat in March will invite us to do two things. One, we're going to be invited to share our life journeys, and as part of that, where our life journeys touch faith and faith touches our life. And it doesn't matter, in my opinion, how robust or scarce your faith journey is. I hope you'll come and share. Two, we will consider what we most value in life and in the life of the church. That's really important for me to hear and for all of us to hear. Secretly, I hope we will gain some insights into testimony, because if we're saying what this church, how it gives us life, then that is our testimony. How Three Crosses can testify to what we love, what fills us, what helps us be more alive in the world, so that others might see this beauty and join us. I'm gonna share a smattering of five things I believe about testimony. I'm not sure how it all holds together, but I feel moved to share because I want all of us to think creatively about how we can witness, how we can testify. One thing I feel sure about is that Jesus showed us who God is by meeting the crucial needs of all those whom he encountered. He brought about health and well-being. He created community. He spoke words of truth to power. He empowered others to trust their own voice. He stood up for those without power or voice. He lived truth and compassion. That's a pretty remarkable set of things that he did. I believe that anytime we are meeting human needs, bringing more life to others because of how we care and what we do, it's a kind of a testimony. But of course, others don't know what motivates us. So we still need to learn how to share that the source of our thoughts and actions is not ourselves, but it's God. We can get better at We can get better at testimony if we practice hearing deep truths within us, both what we're longing for and also knowing that we have confidence that the things we're longing for can come true because we've already experienced God's love and we're confident of God's power for the present and the future. I want to ask, if you had a year to live, 1 year to live, what would you want to be most fulfilled? What are you longing for? Is it reconciliation in your family? Is it there to be fewer gun deaths in our nation? The reason we know reconciliation is possible and that we could in fact reduce gun deaths is because Jesus showed us the way. And we need a language to talk about these convictions. Three. Testimony is also about sharing with others vulnerably. And that's really hard in this day and age. We're taught to be strong, to project ourselves, to project on social media all of our accomplishments. We don't share that vulnerably. What regret or truth do you have that you can share with another? We all have a range of what we're comfortable sharing vulnerably and what we aren't. But we can grow in our ability to share vulnerably. What gets in the way is that we all have something of a persona, labels and stories about ourselves that we mistake for who we are. I am a pastor, and this label gets in the way of me seeing myself as the raw human person I am. Our competencies, the ones Willem unnamed, are labels of sorts too. If I hang on to my competencies, that is, if I see myself as having mastered being compassionate or having faith or being organized, I will likely not access the truth of when my competencies fail, and they do, and likely not see when I need to seek support. Where is our growing zone, the region where we might be able to share something that weighs on us heavily, where we might be able to share some of our pain? When we are in touch with our vulnerable selves and can name these things out loud, we access a place of healing in ourselves and can witness to it, and others can witness it happening in us. 4, testimony needs to include that our faith can explain things that reason cannot. That's a big one in this modern age. It's standing up to modernity. That the mystery of the divine is an explanation not only of what was and has been accomplished, but what can be, what we can create for a better future. Human imagination harnessed for the good is a divine calling. Human imagination harvested for the good is a divine calling. How do we convey that our faith inspires us and that our testimony already has moved Christians in ages past and present, and other people too, to drastically reduce world hunger, has moved us to support hospitals and research that creates life-giving things like vaccines and houses and mental health resources? Our faith invites us to dream into the future, which is a powerful step to then creating a more equitable world, fair economic systems, a way of loving the biosphere. The biosphere. 5, in our joys and concerns, we acknowledge God is present in loss as well as fulfillment. We have truly amazing stories in the Hebrew Bible and Christian Testament that testify to living with loss and fulfillment together. One from Christmas is that God was present in the escape to Egypt, even as God was present in the stable and Jesus' birth. Perhaps part of our testimony needs to be testifying to the power of these sacred stories, and that these stories can move us to name how significant losses have shaped who we are. Church provides a space to do this, a kind of sharing which helps me feel deeply connected to each person, to every one of you in our community, because each loss is not just the other person's loss, but a human loss we all hear and understand, even if we did not experience it. In joys and concerns, we are testifying that loss is bearable in a loving community. If we want our progressive churches to survive and thrive, we need to learn another truth. One who studied the church, he was a professor at Yale, Laman Sana, I don't know how to say that name properly, so if anybody knows, tell me. That's how I'm pronouncing it. Laman Sana said that our faith, unlike spirituality, must be received from another. No one is born into this faith. No one stumbles upon it after walking in the woods or rummaging around in one's ego. I love that phrase. No one stumbles upon Christianity after walking in the woods or rummaging around in one's ego. Christians are recipients, never initiators of faith. Here is the truth that can be had only with receptive, open hands, he writes. Someone had to love us enough to show and to tell the story. We know that we only know through epiphany, that is, witness, testimony. Sana says that Christianity is training in receptivity. Christianity is training in receptivity. Learning to be gratefully dependent on the testimony of others. So here's a recap of these things that are important about testimony. Testimony in action is meeting the needs of others. Testimony is acknowledging the power of love we have already experienced, which gives us hope. Testimony is about sharing vulnerably. Testimony needs to include that our faith can explain things that reason cannot. Testimony must include the power of telling sacred stories. Someone had to love us enough to tell us these stories, to testify to their power, and I pray that we might be motivated to do the same. Amen.